Acts 28. If you want to be seated at your discretion, whatever your polity may be. Acts 28. All the other pastors and leaders who are here, I greet you and honor you, each and every one of you. Acts 28. I'm going to get right into this. Where's the time clock? All right, there it is. Acts 28. Here's an interesting story. This must be somewhere down the road, a film or a Netflix series, because it's that powerful. And the optics around it are just amazing. Acts 28, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Somebody say Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. He put it on a fire. A viper driven out by the heat, driven out by what? Driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Another version would read that the snake bit his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. So I want to speak to you under this innovative canopy. An anointing born out of adversity changes the world. The subtext is this. You're not going to get this till about 5 minutes into it. You'll get this part. Come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. What I want you to do, it's part of what we do in our church in Sacramento, Los Angeles. You're going to do this maybe one time, maybe two. Touch the neighbor you like the most and tell that neighbor, come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. Now touch the other neighbor, the one you barely tolerate. And tell that neighbor, come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. On my way to Rome, on my way to Rome. If you're taking any notes, and good luck with that. Point number one, you and your house are anointed for Rome. Greater things. Your destiny is not based on what's in front of you. Your destiny is based on who's inside of you. Acts 27, verse 1. We're digressing here. When it was decided we would sail for Italy, for Rome, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius. Somebody shout, Rome. Let me give you the story here. Let me give you the story here. Here's the story. Here's Paul. We find Paul in Malta. He's drenched. He's completely soaking wet. He just survived the shipwreck. Literally, the ship fell apart. I did say ship, and I enunciated, by the way. It fell apart. So he got to the shoreline. When he gets to the shoreline, he gets brushwood. There's a fire pit. He acquires additional brushwood. Great hospitality by the people of Malta. He puts the brushwood. Snake comes out, grabs a hold of his hand. That's what we find here. How in the world did he get to Malta? What was Paul doing? Here it is. Paul was on his way to Rome. Not for a mani-pedi, not for a recital, not for a gathering of the Road to Damascus Association. He was on his way to Rome because four chapters prior, God gave Paul his biggest assignment, Acts 23:11. That night, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Be encouraged, Paul. As you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the gospel, the good news in Rome as well." Paul was on his way to Rome to preach the good news on the biggest stage of the ancient world. Paul was on his way to Rome to change the world with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. Do me a favor, look around you. Just look around. To a great degree, we wouldn't be here if Paul would not have made it to Rome. That was the trip that changed everything. This is where the gospel went viral. It went from Jerusalem and Israel to the world in that trip. That's where the Gentiles, everyone went, woo, that was it. So we're here because Paul made it to Rome. I need you to get ready, and I do mean get ready, because I don't really give a holy hoot what the detractors say, what the naysayers proclaim, what you read in surveys, what scholars have projected. We are about to see the gospel of the risen Savior reach every nation, every ethnicity, every generation, every demographic without exception. You can't stop God. Isaiah 14:27, I have plans and they cannot be stopped. Matthew 24:14, the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the entire world. All the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Matthew 24. Listen, God is up to something. We are about to see a gospel explosion like we've never seen before. And this year has not been your, this has been a, this has, este año ha sido algo muy particular. Because this year, God's up to something. Around the world, God's up to something. And don't get just the whole alien stuff and what's happening politically and this or that. God, these are all distractions because we are about to see something crazy. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not see it? I've already begun. Isaiah 43:19. Look, let me prove it. Let me substantiate it. So, because we're on our way to Rome. Watch. Rome means the gospel exploding. Rome means the fulfillment of your God-ordained purpose. This is what it means. All right, this year kicked off with Damar Hamlin. Monday Night Football, a football player dies live on national television. We've never seen that before. Monday Night Football, here's Damar Hamlin, bam, dies. Medically certifiably dead. Both teams coalesce, begin to pray. People around the country begin to pray. And the young man who died came back to life. I don't know if you understand what happened. On national television, Monday Night Football, man dies, people pray, man who was dead came back. Not my wording, by the way. Damar Hamlin, post facto interview, they asked him, why are you alive? He said, God resurrected me. His words. The very next day on ESPN. The very next day, ESPN. Typical program, the panel. The guy looks into the camera. Please do your Google due diligence. YouTube this. He gets on television and he's going like, yeah, can you believe what happened yesterday? Can you believe Damar died? He died live. He died on national television. And they're talking about like the consequences, whether or not the NFL should have more safety protocols, all that. And he comes back and says, yeah, but he died. And people pray. And he came back to life. And then the other panelists are going like, yeah, but there's some consequences here. Even this upcoming week, will there be a special thing? And the guy goes, yeah, I get that. But he died. And people pray. And he came back to life. The other guy's going, we should be careful about hits above the waist and these hearts. And the guy's here going like, we have to discuss that. But he died. People pray. He came back to life. Google this. And then he goes like this. He goes like, I think we should pray. They didn't go to a commercial break. They kept the cameras on. And all of a sudden, on ESPN, they start praying. And at the... And in the middle of his prayer, he says, because we serve the God that has the power to heal. We serve the God. God is up to something. Immediately after that, he says, the timeline. What is this? Immediately after that, in some city, Asbury, Kentucky, the same identical demographic deemed as the most non-Christian demographic in American history, the age group that will never embrace biblical truth. For whatever reason, God never got the memo. And God says, oh, really? Boop. And he sends precious Holy Spirit to a school in the middle of nowhere. And God shows up, and a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds couldn't stop praying, worshiping, lifting up the name of Jesus. People all over the world flew into Asbury, Kentucky, and then it spread to Baylor University. And if you think it stopped, no. Last week, Auburn. You know what happened in Auburn? A bunch of people were baptized in the name of Jesus. Immediately after that, my friend Greg Laurie from SoCal. Greg produces a film called The Jesus Revolution. Was supposed to have made about $7 million bucks, box office receipts projected over 50 million thus far, and a few weeks ago, he baptized over 4,000 brand new believers at Pirates Cove in Orange County, California. I'm just giving you the line. Immediately after that, over 6,000 pastors gathered in Amsterdam. We gathered in Amsterdam, and we gathered for the purpose of signing a declaration. Because right now, currently, 3.8 billion people around the world have yet to hear a viable presentation of the gospel of Jesus. 3.8, you would think with the internet, of all that, there are countries that censor the internet in such a way that Jesus cannot be mentioned. And even more, a viable presentation of the gospel of Christ. So 3.8 billion people have yet to hear a viable presentation of the gospel of Jesus. So we signed a declaration declaring that by 2033, in 10 years, every single human being on this planet will hear the gospel of Jesus. I don't know if you're ready for this. We are about to see more people get saved, more people delivered, more people healed, more people filled with the power of... I need you to get ready. We're about to see more people come to Jesus than ever before in world history. If you believe it, praise like you actually believe it. Matter of fact, if you really believe it, raise your right hand. We're going to make a declaration right now. Repeat after me. I decree and declare that in the next 12 months, more people will come to Jesus through my testimony, my ministry, my mantle of anointing than all my previous years combined. You have no idea what you just said, but now you become a magnet for the glory of God and the power of God showing up. Are we streaming? We are? Yeah, there goes that. Everyone's going to hear it. You can't stop the gospel. Muslim nations will hear the gospel. Communist nations will hear the gospel. Woke nations will hear the gospel. Millennials will hear the gospel. Generation Z, Generation Alpha. What if I tell you that every letter in the alphabet will hear the gospel?
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week, this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
I'm not saying anybody's going to get saved, but they're going to hear that Jesus saves, delivers, and heals every letter. No, I said every letter. That means AARP, are you down with OPP, LGBTQ+, A to Z. Everyone's going to hear that there is power in the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus washes away all of our sins. Repeat after me, come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. Are there any questions? So Paul was on his way to Rome for that purpose, getting the gospel. Boop. Yep. And this is, hey, Paul, yes, Lord, you're going to Rome, Acts 23:11. Thank you, Lord, never including the details. Is it a moped, bicycle, tricycle, Maserati, a Prius? We don't judge here. What is it? It's a boat. Oh, Norwegian, Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, Carnival. No, not even the bougie, the Viking Cruise Line. What is it? It's a prison ship. A what? You're going on a prison ship. They get on a prison ship, Acts 27. He's on his way to Rome to fulfill his God-ordained destiny. He's on his way to Rome on a prison ship. Paul warning them, y'all, this is not the right time, y'all. Nope, they ignored it. And all of a sudden, a nor'easter shows up. A de facto hurricane. And they're being slapped around, battered like a cheap piñata. That's slightly racist. Let me take that back. They were battered. So this really happened. Acts 15 to 27, 15 to 17. They're being battered. The Bible says that the powers that be determined that it would be better to be driven by the storm. It is better to be driven by the wind in order to try to make it. Let's not fight the storm, they said. Let's be driven by the storm. We are all driven people. We're either driven by the past or the future, by problems or promises, by nightmares or dreams, by the pathetic or the prophetic, by the flesh or the spirit, by Google searches or godly searches. We're either driven by drama or by destiny, by trauma or by testimony. Some people are driven by praise and others are actually driven by criticism as it pertains to other opinions of you. Listen carefully. If their praise did not make you, their criticism cannot break you. We have too many Christians that spend more time reacting to what comes from hell rather than what comes from heaven. We have too many believers driven by the winds of wokeism, cancel culture, ideologies, and social constructs that are counterintuitive to the Word and Spirit of God. Too many believers driven by opinions and feelings instead of being driven by truth and love. What drives you? Talk about drive. I'm going to be very transparent here. But we just went through a journey, our church family did. We've never been through this journey before. At the end of last year, after this conference, we went back to Sacramento. And I preached a series on the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha, by this time next year and so forth. But we illustrated, we had a door. And my wife and I, just to prove a point and just to elevate sort of this is what it looks like, we went through the door. Something happened. God is, and you know that it's not you, it's not hype, it's not emotional exuberance, a viable, measurable manifestation of the glory of God. Or it wasn't prompted, it was just by us, it wasn't, manipulated. God just went, I'm here. And the whole church, without one word being said, just experienced it. The glory of God filled the place. We got it. My wife and I were like, whoa, this is like, this God's here. So we said, God's up to something. So we walked in. That same, right after that, we get a call. Get a call right after that. Coink-a-dink. Pastor Sam, it was the leadership of a prominent ministry in the state of California for ethical purposes. I won't mention the name, but a prominent ministry that went down COVID, post-COVID. They went from 2,200 to 700 attendees on Sunday, and they had an incredible amount of debt. And the debt was pretty ginormous, immeasurable, in the millions. So they called us up and said, Pastor Sam, would your church be interested in merging of our church, taking over big property, 80 acres, highway frontage, worth 75 to 80 million U.S. dollars, and crazy stuff, just an auditorium that fits 3,000 people, which we desperately need. So we went like, this is God answering the prayers. So I went like, whoa, three auditoriums, one for three, one for 1,000, another for three. I went, this is it. So I met with my team, and I went, let's do this. I initially had meetings with the pastor and the members of their team and had the initial four meetings, and then it happened. All right, Pastor Sam, it's time. We all agree. Let's formalize this. Have your board meet with our board, the formal meeting, and then we'll sign an MOU, and we'll execute accordingly. So there it is. We met in a certain coffee establishment whose name I will not mention, and I drank my almond milk latte and Jezebel on the cup. And so we were there. And so I never said anything. Did I say anything? So we sat and we debriefed. What are they going to ask you? What do we prepare for? Because we don't know. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm going in there. Questions would be fiduciary governance, integration of systems, attrition for the current staff in that church and so forth, HR components, risk management, typical integrative systems and so forth. And then they're probably going to ask, well, you have a Slavic service or a Spanish service. And they're probably going to ask questions that really matter, like, why do you speak so fast? Questions that are really legitimate. You should be asking. We walked into the meeting. This is about what drives you. So I walked into the meeting. I sat right here. I have Jeff Carter, Kimberly Hicks, my board members, four of them. They had their team here. And I came here and I went, okay. First thing is, this is it, the initial. Like, no joke, this happened just like this. There were witnesses to that. And both sides attest to it because it was so crazy. So I sat down and I'm going like, great. All right, let's do this. And the first question, board member. Pastor Sam, we want to begin by asking you this critical question. One question. And I'm thinking, all right, here comes systems, ideas, a budget. What is it? And they go, Pastor Sam, our church, we lean left. We want to know, where do you lean? This is me. Because I'm thinking, I'm candid camera, is this a, you know, like, this has to be it. There's no, because I'm thinking other, total, both a sign and a wonder, nothing came out of my mouth. And my team, his wife was there. She's part of our board. Nothing came out. And they're looking at me like, say something. Nothing came out. And I'm going, because I'm processing it. First of all, in light of everything we do, I'm a part-time comedian. But so help me, the first thing that hit me wasn't prophetic, spiritual. The first thing was, dude, you have enough jokes for the next 3 years to carry you over wherever you go. You're covered. The next thing that happened is the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, all right, Sammy, go ahead. Say it. Answer them. And I didn't want to. Because if I would say what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say, we would never get the building. So I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit always wins. So I look up after about a minute of absolute nothing coming out of this Puerto Rican's mouth. And I look up and I go, thank you for your question. Yeah, thank you for your question. With great due deference, our church, new season at our church, we don't lean. We stand. We stand. We stand. We stand. We stand on the word of God. We stand on the promises of God. We stand on the finished work of Christ. Whatever the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Whatever the Bible calls sin, we call sin. We don't need Christians in Hawaii or in America or around the world that lean left or lean right. We need believers that stand. In it. Are there any standing believers in the house? If you, somebody shout like you stand and praise like you stand. If you're standing, lift up your hands. Repeat after me. I don't lean. I stand. Say it like you believe it. I don't lean. I stand. Repeat it again. I don't lean. I stand. We stand, we stand, we stand. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. It's time. I'm praying. And I know this church doesn't. Don't lean. We need a church that rises up. We can't be driven by the winds of just a cultural derivative ideas, social constructs, ideologies, falsehoods, and lies. We need a church that... Stand up for biblical truth. Stand up for righteousness.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle.
Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.